The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How's it going today, Big JD?
Going all right? Yourself?
It's going pretty awesome, actually. I'm laid off this week, so it's kind of like a mid-February
vacation.
Hiatus. It's a staycation for sure. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere or doing anything exciting, but I'm not going to work. I know that much.
Right on. That's cool, though.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I always liked those where you work.
Yes. who wouldn't? Well, I know who wouldn't. The new hires there, but that's another story for another day.
Oh, you got new hires? It is another story for another day, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they're not making as much money as we are. And they don't get SUV and they don't get S&A. And
they don't get an SUV?
No SUV for the new hires.
All right. What are we talking about on the show this week?
This week, it's like a buying guide, Big JD. We're doing a desktop computer versus a laptop computer.
Ooh.
Pros, cons. We're going to have criteria is going to be cost, portability, processor, ease of assembly, keyboard, screen size, power usage, upgrading, gaming, repair, and that's about it.
Wow. You said a mouthful.
I would think that we should also talk about end of life, like which
dying?
Last,
mark that down on your sheet, though. End of life show? That's great. Kevorkian and such?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There you go.
Then we almost can't have any music on that show because I could go on and on about that stuff.
Oh.
So what did I just say? End of life show?
End of life for your desktop and your laptop and...
Yeah, how long can you expect? Is there an advantage over getting a desktop compared to a laptop far as one goes for the other? I don't know.
We got a lot of ground to cover on the show, and this show marks the first You Talking to Me interview show within the morning show with this, since we've been back. And this week, I'm happy to say that I have Adam Engst on the show.
Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? He's going to be talking about laptops and desktops as well as some other technology media related stuff like the transition through paper books to ebooks, digital books. Should be fun.
Well, he knows all about that. He's an author of how to. Speaking of how to books, that he's like an expert. He mustn't have never heard our show to agree to be on it.
Hey, I sent the links, man. That's as far as I go, you know.
He's got to dig it. All right. Very good. That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it. Should be good. Adam Engst, you met him somewhere else, though, right?
I did. And I'll talk a little bit about that with him as well.
Awesome.
And just so people know who he is, he's an editor and publisher of Tidbits. It's one of the oldest and largest internet-based newsletters. It's pretty cool. He's an author, of course. And him and his wife are the ones that did the Take Control books.
Yes, they did. But they handed that off to somebody else, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. I'll talk to him about that as well in the interview. So stay tuned for that stuff coming up later in the show. And right now,
Pearl Jam. And we're going to be listening to Glorify G from their Versus album.
since we're doing a Versus show, there you go. Pearl Jam from Versus. Nice.
Yeah, that's some old stuff. Some, what do they call it? Angst. Some kind. Speaking of angst, it's angst.
Listen to this guy. He's on a roll today.
I am. I'm feeling good today for some reason. As old as I am, I'm feeling good.
Because you
got
a new gadget. Save it for the gadget show.
All right. Didn't we just do a gadget show?
I don't know. Did we? This is the gadget show, isn't it?
Well, if you
or did we do one? Oh, we did do one.
Yeah, I think we did.
Was it music-related gadgets or that's what we
yes.
did?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But you could consider these things gadgets, but not so much. These are more workhorses, but some of the prices on some of these things
right.
are
Right. Let's talk about cost.
All right. So first of all, we're talking about desktops and laptops. Which one should you get if you're kind of on the fence or you're leaning towards one thing and you think, well, I didn't even consider getting a laptop or a desktop. We're just going to shed some more light on the subject. Desktops are you're going to actually get into a desktop. You're going to probably be able to get into a decent desktop cheaper than you're going to be able to get into a decent laptop. Because there's laptops out there that are just pure junk. They're just plasticky, just enough barely to get you, you know, running your operating system. And if you're running a Chromebook, if you don't need hardly any power whatsoever, it's just, a way to do spreadsheets and word processing and surf the web and do your, you know, light stuff, Facebook and all that kind of stuff on a Chromebook. And you can get, and those prices vary within the line of Chromebooks. You can get like the cheapo Acer one for like $200, right?
Yeah, and laptops are pretty, I mean, you can find a cheap laptop, but I think you're going to get what you pay for, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I know you're going to get what you pay for, yeah, because I had the unfortunate, we did some karaoke, our band did, in between sets one time.
Yeah.
So Francis gave me this laptop that they just hand out to kids. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It's just typing on it was hard. Like the keys don't, you know, they're not at all. It's like it's worse than a typewriter. It was really bad. And the speed was slow and the display you couldn't see on more than a 10 degree angle off the axis. It was like, what? But yeah, so you can get a really cheap laptop. Having said that, are we going to talk about PC versus Mac, Big JD?
Ooh, I think that's another show.
Well, no, it's this show comparing laptops and desktops.
Is there any versus?
Well, if you're an Apple guy, you're an Apple guy, but there's a lot of folks out there who,
yeah, if you're an Apple guy, you're going to pay some dough for your laptop, regardless. If you're, if you're a PC user, I mean, if you're switching, I mean, that's another show too, switching, you know what I mean? But if you are a PC user, yeah, there's cheap laptops, depending on what you're doing. If you just want a little bit of word processing and some email, then by all means, you could probably get away with something cheap. But desktops as well. I mean, you can find a cheap desktop too. I mean, you know, there's those little ones. They make those little HP desktops or even maybe the, what is it? The Dell stuff maybe is small now too. Some of them are like the size, almost the size of Mac minis. Like they're pretty small and it's a, you know what I mean? A desktop computer. Then obviously you need to buy everything else for it. All your accessories, like your keyboard and your mouse and your, you know, unless you look at getting an all-in-one thing. And that's the nice thing about a laptop. Everything's all in one.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So we were just talking about, to this week's show is desktop versus laptop. Which one should you get? We're talking a little bit about cost. Let's finish up our little cost analysis. I would have to say that the main thing is why are you getting a laptop? That's kind of like an overall, like we're going through all the things that you can judge a laptop or a desktop by, but then you really have to get into why do you need a desktop?
Yeah. It's got to be based on your needs really. So yeah.
Yeah. So if you're someone who needs a desktop, odds are, you're old and that's what you, and that's what you're used to. You know, there's some older people who they bought computers, you know, and then they got
it's
on.
It's a good thing old people listen to the show.
Well,
it's all young people.
Yeah, well, people like my parents' age, and my parents aren't even around anymore. Anyway, you know, they got on AOL first, and that was the internet for them. I want to get on the AOL.
AOL, does that even exist anymore?
No. Other than in the name of AOL.
That was as pathetic as a.
You say that, PC. But it's a step in the progression to where we are today.
It was. I would have to say that, but it was a pathetic step.
Oh yeah,
it was like slow and painful and.
Well, that had to do with the speed of the internet,
I guess,
in general.
Was, yeah, they were early adopters with all that.
Dial-up. You hear your modem firing up and talking. Those were the days. All right, we're going to be a wrap. That's a wrap on the cost analysis of desktop versus laptop. Next, we're going to be talking about portability. This week we're talking about desktop versus laptop. Which one should you get? Next in our criteria is portability. Well, I think obviously desktops are large for the most part, and the portability rate's zero, I think, as far as that goes.
Yeah, even if they're small, I mean, like a Mac Mini or those little ones I was talking about, those PCs, I mean, it's not, you're not going to be carting them around with you anywhere, really.
No,
I mean,
you need a monitor and a keyboard and all that stuff.
I mean, unless if you're doing something like, you get a powerful little computer and you need a little more power than a laptop has. But of course, they're getting pretty powerful these days. But I mean, if you need to have it somewhat portable, you know, if you took it and you had to do some video editing, so you needed something a little more powerful and you did, you know, you're bringing a monitor and you're bringing all this stuff to set up somewhere or recording a band or something, you know what I mean? In those types of cases, I suppose you might get to use a desktop computer or something like that, but...
Yeah, for sure. Even the size of your laptop is going to matter, though, because you can, on the PC side especially, you can get some pretty large size screens on a laptop.
Well, I've seen, like, and I think 19 inches. Is there anything bigger than a 19?
I read in an article that there is a 21-inch laptop screen. Yeah, nice. So that's not very portable, but it is more portable than a 21-inch monitor and a portable computer. So,
all right, that's pretty cool.
So portability, laptop wins, obviously, I would have to say. We are now talking about laptops versus desktops. So, on this week's Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, our next criteria as far as determining whether which one we should buy is processor. Desktop processors are definitely different than laptop processors. They're different. All the components in desktop computers are pretty much different than laptops because of the miniaturization of those components. And typically they're more expensive or cheaper, like less quality is in them. Desktop processors tend to be bigger and more powerful because they can put more fans and there's more space for them to cool down. You can put even heat sinks in some of them.
And oftentimes too, I don't know if this is down the list there, but the fact that, you know, interchangeability or upgrading and things like that too is you can more often do that with a desktop than you can with a laptop. So that's something to consider when you're thinking about processors and things like that.
Having said all that, processors are that one component that when we first started buying computers was really important, but now the evolution of processors we're in such a place now that it's very, very evolutionary. Like, it's either the die size shrinks down or that's about it. That's usually what they're trying to do, get it smaller and cooler, right? And use less electricity so your battery lasts longer on a laptop. And just uses less electricity on a desktop. Would you say that, Big JD? Because we used to know like processor speeds and which models they were, but now it's the same stuff that's coming out of Intel, the i5 or the i7 series, and we're like in the eighth generation of those chips.
It's got a lot to do with some other things now that, you know, weren't around at that time, like the number of cores and...
Right, exactly. So the technology has increased, but it's the kind of changes that don't necessarily make or break us in our decision whether we're going to buy one computer over another one.
Not for most people, I wouldn't think so.
Right. There are, obviously, if you're, if you're in the science field or you're editing video... on a large scale, you're definitely going to want, not necessarily that your project can afford it, but if you'd like to have something a little on the higher end, the Xeon chips running on a Mac Pro. Ooh,
I'd like to eat some Xeon chips right now.
That sounds yummy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit of salt.
With some cock. It's an herbal rose hip pop. Very tasty. Oh. Get it at the European market.
On Walker Road or on
Walker, that one doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they moved right to Tecumseh Road.
It's an organic store now.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that anything moved in there.
Yeah, there was an organic store in the market across the street, and they moved their whole store into that location where the European market was.
Okay. Yes. And speaking about laptops.
So, this is a song called Laptop by Jonathan Bree.
Bed with a laptop and your cat, just love for which you really care out there. All the ugly people there work on pay taxes and procreate. Inside
Let's talk about a little bit about keyboards.
All right, sure. Keyboards. You want a wireless one, or do you want a
Like a salesman.
Do you want a one with a number pad on it? Do you want an ergonomic one?
Ergonomic.
Yeah, there's tons of keyboards out there.
The biggest thing to consider, though, is between the desktop and a laptop is, would you want one that's attached to the thing, or you want one that's separate? So, I mean, that's what you're going to get with a desktop.
Having said that, you can use an external keyboard on your laptop.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
So you can still, if you have your favorite
ergonomic.
Bluetooth. I have a favorite Bluetooth keyboard. I carry one at work. I use it on my phone, and it'll also work on a PC and an iPad, and it's just Bluetooth, right? And you can connect it to multiple devices as well. So that one keyboard doesn't necessarily have to stick with that one computer.
Obviously,
you can use it anywhere.
Sure.
Yep. So, yeah, that is an advantage for desktops, that you have a large range of keyboards you can use, whereas a laptop, you're going for the mobility of it, the portability of it. So are you likely to carry around an ergonomic keyboard? Maybe. There are foldable models out there, I know.
Or rollout ones.
Oh, the roll. Yeah, that would be really cool. Or the ones that just beam onto the desktop.
Ooh.
And you're just touching spots on your desk, and it emulates you hitting an actual keyboard. Myself, I like the tactile feel of a keyboard. I'm using a wired Apple keyboard with the number pad on it. Obviously, I have a desktop. There's no reason to have a wireless keyboard. It doesn't make any sense. I might as well have one that's actually connected physically to the computer. I like that as well, because it's something that is, you know, for sure is going to wake up your computer. You know, it's connected, and you know, you're not worried if there's a Bluetooth connection or that's about it. Bluetooth connection. So yeah,
mine's all wired into my brain. So I'm just thinking it and it's happening.
Wow. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Speaking of brains, coming up next, I pick Adam Engst's brain on laptops, desktops, technology, and more on You Talking to Me.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
So today's show is just going to scratch the surface of our virtual world, and who better to have on the show to talk about that and technology but Adam Engst. Adam is the editor and publisher of Tidbits, one of the oldest and largest internet-based newsletters distributed in 5 languages every week to hundreds of thousands of readers, and he's the author or co-author on numerous books and magazine articles, including the best-selling Internet Starter Kit series of books, and he's collaborated on several internet educational videos and has appeared on a variety of nationally broadcast television and radio programs, and You Talking to Me is no exception. Adam Engst, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I wanted to tell folks first where we met. It's a bit of an interesting story because I had bought a book in the past that I didn't realize at the time that you had actually published this book. And so we met at the end of 2018 at Schuldice Hospital, and I'll let you explain what Schuldice is.
Yeah, Schuldice is an interesting place. It's a hospital in Toronto, and it is the world leader in hernia repair surgeries. And I had had 2 on the left side, and so when I needed one on the right side, my doctor says, you're going to Toronto. And little did I know, coming from the U.S., this would be true socialized medicine, because you spent the entire time socializing.
It was a Schuldice experience, I call it.
So we were roommates. Big JD came in the day after I did, so I got to be the mentor, the wise man who knew, like, oh yeah, you're really going to want to do something else here.
And then Adam leaves the day before me, and I thought I was going to be somebody's mentor, and I never got another roommate.
Man, you didn't get someone. Oh man, that's the best part. It's like, yeah, I know what's going to happen to you in 24 hours.
I had as many questions for you as I did for the surgeons and the nurses. So that's where we met. And like I had mentioned, I had bought a book that that you and your wife had published. And
Take Control of Scrivener, wasn't it?
Yeah, Take Control of Scrivener, yes.
Yeah, back when we started the Take Control series of books back in 2003 and sold it in 2017. But it was such a hoot to have this person lying in bed next to me who was read one of
separate beds, folks, separate beds. Yeah.
In the room, yeah. So we even had a curtain between them. Behind us.
Yeah. So the Take Control series, is that actually, I know you sold that. Does Tanya have a hand in that?
So at the moment, no. We sold it to our star author, a guy named Joe Kissel, who had written, I think, like 50 titles for us in that series. Fabulous guy. And he knew everything. We had actually built the series with him. He wrote our first book, and so every decision we made really was made with him, participating. And he had gotten tired of writing, and we had gotten tired of publishing. So we decided that it was time to move on. And he was the only person that made sense to take it over. And he was thrilled to be able to switch into a different role and do the take over the things that we had just not ever quite been able to do for him. So that was kind of fun.
Well, it sounded like it worked out really well then, that transition. And
yes.
So I want to talk about Tidbits, because Tidbits is a big thing for you. It's been around since the beginning of time, pretty much.
Yeah, that would be 1990. So, right. Yeah. There wasn't anything before then, was there?
No. I don't think so.
No. And no internet, so.
No, I was born in 1990, so.
Then there you go. So Tidbits, we started it in 1990 and have been publishing every week for the last 29 years, which is just about to be 29 years in April. So just about there. It's truly shocking. I must say I never anticipated 29 years ago that I would be doing the same thing week after week after week for that long.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And tell us a little bit about what Tidbits is.
Tidbits is a publication that focuses on Apple computer, actually just Apple Inc. now. They now, because they do so much more than the Macintosh, which is where we started, it is now Apple Inc. And so, yes, we talk about the Mac, the iPhone, the iPad, all of their services, software that's associated, going on in the internet world that are interesting to Apple users and things like that. And used to be a lot more relaxed, and now that Apple is, they at least flirt with being the most valuable company in the world periodically, there's a lot. Just keeping up with Apple these days is a full-time job.
Oh, no doubt. So I mentioned in the show intro that we'll just be scratching the surface of our kind of I called it our virtual world, but to say virtual world, that could mean so many things. It's a broad topic, so this will be a minuscule part of that in the way of computers, media, technology. And so while there are far too many topics to cover, especially in a single show, I'd primarily like to discuss a couple of topics, and one being the virtual book, the digital book, the ebook, maybe even the audio book. You're obviously no stranger to publishing. Give us your take on the transition from paper books to ebooks, and maybe back again even, and where we are, where you think we're headed, anything beyond where we've come.
It's a truly fascinating situation. So we started Take Control in 2003, in part because the technologies kind of came together at that point in time for people to be able to read books on a computer or a device. I mean, keep in mind this is 2003, so it's before the iPad, and so it was an interesting opportunity at that point, and we then just kind of rode the wave. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, people started asking us for our books on the iPhone and then the iPad, before we were even, I'm just going to say we were ready, before the technologies were ready to make them available there. And so that was it was really fascinating to watch. And I think, we saw this just this as this way of this skyrocketing effect of books, digital books becoming tremendously popular, and people predicting that this was going to be the wave of the future and print books were going to disappear. And then it didn't happen. Yeah, that what happened was is ebooks basically came to a certain level of the take over a certain level of the market. I forget what it is, 25-35%, something like that. And then they just stopped. And sales have just been stagnant since then. I mean, they're not going down, but the fact is that paper books have not gone away. And part of that is that researchers have discovered that people actually understand and retain material better when they read it on paper. So even, you know, college students today who have grown up digital are really preferring textbooks on paper when they need to learn. And so I don't think, you know, I think perhaps 10 years ago I might have said, oh, wow, ebooks are going to take over and print books are going to be, you know, interesting only for their artifact value. But now I think it's really going to take a lot longer before print disappears in any way, any significant way. Mm-hmm. We're going to need some level of technology where we're recreating the feel and utility of the paper book in some kind of a digital medium where there's actual little literal pages that we flip, but the pages can be like individual Kindles. You know, that's the point where I think paper books might start to go away, because we'll be retaining the physicality of it all without actually having to lose what it makes, you know, what makes a paper book important.
Well, what really makes it important, I think, is the binding. And there's never any type of binding on these digital, yeah. Really.
and it matters.
I mean, just,
if you think about it,
I just,
but seriously, you know where you are in a paper book,
yeah.
Right? You know, you can tell by putting your thumb in it that you're 2/3 or 3/4 or all the way through or almost done.
Or wherever your marker is, right?
Right. That means something. And yeah. And we don't think about that, but when you're reading an ebook, even if it tells you some number as some little progress bar, it's not the same thing yet. And we don't have these inherent built-in sense of positioning that makes a difference. And so, yeah, so it's stuff like that I think it will change at some point, but it's going to be a while yet.
And something else that I haven't seen, I'm just picking on these little things like the binding and the bookmark. Can you get different kinds of bookmarks for digital books or no? Because remember the ones they had, it was the thing in plastic and it had a little piece of rope or something sticking out of it.
Oh yeah, the yarn at the top. And yeah. And there were, I mean, this of course dates me entirely, but there were the Garfield bookmarks. I mean, you know, that you could buy them in bookstores, you know, and they had little, they had cartoon characters on them and stuff. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, bookmarks used to be a thing and they still are obviously to an extent, but
bookmarks like that. I mean, you just have a little red.
There's right. It's just a little tap, and yeah, it loses the entire appeal.
And
so,
what's your preferred format? Or at least these days, maybe.
These days, I have to say, my preferred format is an ebook, and it's for an interesting reason, though. It's not because I think that it is the best overall format, but you may have noticed that newspapers always use a very narrow column width, and that's because the human eye reads, you know, left to right, you know, in English anyway, left to right, and we bounce over words. So a long line, your eye will actually only read like every third word and you will fill in the rest. And so newspapers use short column widths to make it easier to understand and retain. And so I've discovered that there's this wonderful combination of public libraries have ebooks available that you can just borrow in an app. I use Libby with the New York Public Library. And then if you're reading on an iPhone, you have a built-in narrow column width. So it ends up being a really nice reading experience from that kind of mental perceptual, visual perceptual issue. Plus, I often read in bed at night and I have terrible eyes. So it's very easy to hold an iPhone like 4 inches from my face, whereas getting a book 4 inches from my face is sometimes a little awkward.
And needing the light.
Precisely. Yeah. I'm perfectly backlit, you know, and I can adjust. I can even read in, you know, in the pitch black. If I wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep, I can, you know, knock the brightness on the iPhone way down and read without waking up my wife.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, the changes that you can make to them for, you know, your reading pleasure or your eyes or
yes.
Adjusting for the room or whatever, but the you know, you get that paperback page color kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A little bit of sepia color.
Yeah.
You can increase the font size or decrease it. I mean, actually, at 4 inches, I see really well, so mm-hmm. I can knock the font size way down. but if I do have my glasses on or my contacts on, and I can't see nearly as well at a sort of comfortable distance, reading distances, I'm 51. Insert comment about stupid aging eyes here. Then I bump the font size back up, and I can do that within a book, within a reading session.
Yeah.
Again, one of those nice things about an ebook that you can't do with a paper book.
I pretty much don't retain anything because I need a full letter on each page. Before we leave the book thing and publishing and whatnot, what's the favorite book that you've written or published?
Oh,
is there anything in particular that you're most fond of?
So I have to say that there's always the first one. Mm-hmm. And so the first book I wrote was in 1993. It was called The Internet Starter Kit for Macintosh. It was designed to help people get on the internet from a Mac. And this was the fifth book about the internet. So number five, and we only missed number four by a week or two. Mm-hmm. And it was, I remember when the publishing company contacted me to see if I was interested in writing it. I said, well, there are three other books about the internet. I'll have to see if there's something else I can say. And yeah, so that was, you want to talk about sort of, lassoing the tiger by the tail. That book, across four editions and translations and, versions for Windows and the Mac and everything, sold like 600,000 copies. So yeah, that's my favorite book.
Cool. The last thing I want to talk about, I say kind of quickly, but another huge topic, kind of a broad scope, is the laptop versus the desktop. What maybe do you prefer between the two? What do you feel are the biggest pros and cons between them for yourself? And maybe what others should look for if they're looking for a new computer, don't know which one to get.
Well, it's an interesting and ever-present topic. It used to be, of course, we only had desktops. I mean, I actually do remember the Macintosh Portable, or as we used to call it, the Luggable, because I believe it weighed 17 pounds. Wow. Yes, it had a handle, but you were going to be getting a workout. I'm still mostly a desktop guy. And I work on a 27-inch Retina iMac with a second 27-inch screen next to it. And that's actually why I'm a desktop guy, because I want screens. I want big screens. I want to see everything all at once. And I currently can usually see, 4 to 5 apps simultaneously. And for the kind of writing I do, that's important because I'm referring to something and going back and, checking my email to see what that was said about the article, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So all that said, I, of course, do have a laptop as well, currently a MacBook Air. And the MacBook Air is my travel machine and a testing machine, and it's fabulous. That they, again, dating from the very early days of the laptops, we've come so, so far. And a lot of the I still use a laptop the way we did in the early days, which was, a secondary machine that you would use for traveling. And you knew you were making trade-offs. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's still true. I don't have as much power. I don't have as much screen real estate, all of those kinds of things. And I use it for travel. That said, modern day laptops have gotten so good and so powerful that, for instance, my son, who's a 20-year-old sophomore at Cornell University, he lives on a laptop. Because he's out and about every day, all day. He's in classes. He needs to take notes, that kind of thing. And so a desktop machine, wouldn't really make sense for him. He actually likes having a big monitor he can plug into back in his dorm room so he gets more screen real estate. But again, you can do that with modern-day laptops. So it's not really – it doesn't have to be an either-or situation. You can either go all in on the laptop and get a powerful one and a second monitor, or you can go for what I've done and get a really powerful desktop and have a somewhat less powerful laptop. But, or you can do both, but, usually the more powerful laptops get a little pricey. So,
yeah, especially when we're buying Apple.
It's true, although I was just referring back to some articles we published in Tidbits 19 years ago. This was by a software developer who'd gone on he'd actually taken his entire shareware company on a 2-month trip, basically on a PowerBook G3, if you remember those. Mm-hmm. And he'd written us this article about how he, actually ran his business for 2 months while traveling through Asia. And so I pulled this out because I was fascinated, just like how much the world has changed in those 19 years in terms of traveling with technology. And his PowerBook G3 and all the stuff he had to buy for it was about $3,500 at the time. And like I said, the laptop itself was $2,500, the various accessories. And nowadays, you could buy a MacBook Air, that's what he uses now, and for $1,000. And so, you know, it was just radically cheaper, both in, you know, just in real terms, in terms of, you know, 1,000 versus 2,500. And then you go back and, you know, look at the cost of living changes and all that, the cost of money. Prices really have come down hugely in many ways.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Much more affordable now. And I think if people can afford it and you might require both a desktop and laptop. I know, like we do for work as well, and we're in audio and video, so we have to have a desktop. But boy, a laptop's convenient.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And, you know, I will say again, they've gotten so good, you know, that the screen quality, the reliability. The guy I was talking to, he's a developer. He still lives overseas. He was in London before. Now he's in Tel Aviv. And he was saying that he's been using a seven-year-old MacBook Air the entire time. And it's partly because these machines last a long time and really, they hold their value. They hold their performance. Yeah. So, you know, if you don't require massive performance, like actually for like audio and video processing, you do. Mm-hmm. But for many of the rest of us, you know, where we're mostly doing email and web stuff, turns out those older machines just to keep plugging along.
Yep. And my laptop is an older machine. It's the 17-inch unibody.
Oh, the 17.
Yeah, that was 2011.
Big. Yep. Yep,
which was the last year. I don't know. They didn't make them very long anyway, did they? I don't think. 17?
They were around for a while, but I don't remember exactly how long. Yeah. So, and as it, like this guy wanted to go in the other direction. So he had an 11-inch Air.
Yeah.
You know, the really small ones. And that's, you know, my wife had that for the longest time too. And you know, super nice little machine, really light, really small. Yeah. So hard to go wrong if you don't need the screen real estate.
Right, right. And they're catching back up though. They got I guess they're coming out with a 16-inch.
Yeah, that's the latest rumor. So we will see.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the rumor about the 6K display, a 30-inch 6K display, because the iMac hasn't been updated in a long time too. And I'm running on a 2014 iMac. So if they had a new iMac with a 30-inch display and there was a 30-inch external monitor, more pixels.
Yeah, yeah. And we were talking about that at Shouldice, how they dropped their monitor and they went with an LG they
Yeah,
for a while,
PLG, and there's no other 5K displays.
Yeah.
So, you know, and for people who aren't super familiar with this stuff, the important thing about Apple's 5K display on the iMac is it's what's called Retina, which means you can't see the pixels. So this picture is crystal clear. And the older 27-inch monitor that I have next to my iMac is not Retina. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can tell. You know, even with my lousy eyes, it just isn't as clean and clear. So that
once we move into that technology, we have it and it's in front of us. It's hard to go back.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to like look at pixels like an animal.
Like an animal. So where can listeners follow you online? Any links you might want to give out or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I'd encourage everyone to go take a look at tidbits.com. Which is the newsletter that we publish. And I call it a newsletter because we started well before the web. But it is, of course, just a website. And you can sign up to get it in email if you so wish. So tidbits.com. And for anyone who's listening who might happen to be a consultant or the other side of our business now, is we provide syndicated content for consultants and resellers and the like who need to have their own blogs that don't have time to write stuff. And that's called the Tidbits Content Network at tcn.tidbits.com.
Cool stuff. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show, sharing your views, and wish you all the best as you continue with the great services and the creating.
It's a never ending, but happy to be here and happy to come back again if you want to chat sometime.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks.
I'd like to thank my guest, Adam Engst, for being on the show. It's always a pleasure speaking with him, and he's never at a loss for discussing such a wide range of topics related to computers, Apple, technology, news, publishing, and more. Again, you can find him at tidbits.com. Be sure to catch the new You Talking To Me shows on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Morning shows drop every Sunday morning, and you can subscribe to the morning show in iTunes. Just do a search there for Big JD and Lippo, or listen online at TuneIn Radio, or simply visit the You Talking To Me website for more information. www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me.ca. Until next time, this is You Talking To Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Thanks for listening.
coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Back. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. We're talking about laptops versus desktops. What's next on the agenda?
On the agenda, we have screen size. So, like we said before, there are some laptops with large screens on them. But for the most part, the majority of laptops, the screen size is anywhere from, what, 12 to 15 inches, Big JD?
Yeah, pretty much for the most part. I'm going to say more so what I see now is like 13 to 15.
Yes. Yeah.
And isn't Apple coming out with it's rumored that they're coming out with a MacBook that's like a
16-inch kind of MacBook
odd
Pro.
Size sort of.
Sure, I mean, but they're obviously
the masters. Why didn't they just do the 17 again? Bigger is better.
That's a good point. So if they come out with a 16, they'll probably kibosh the 15. You'd have to think, why sell both?
But why have a 16 and why have a 17? Why have a 15? Why have a 16? You know what I mean? It's always just that little difference. There's always just that little bit. You know what I mean? And really, what's an inch? An inch isn't that much.
That's not what she said.
Hey, You know what I mean, though? Like, if you're going to have, if you have a 13 maybe and you have a 17, then there's a big climb.
Right. I think even 15 to 17 inch, because we are measuring on the diagonal. And right. Those 2 inches can mean that it's probably, in terms of actual screen space, you're probably gaining 20%.
You're gaining a sidebar somehow or something.
Yes. Sidebar or toolbar, basically. Yeah. And then there's all that. There's the MacBook Pros have the touch bar on them as well, which turned out, in my opinion, to be somewhat of a dud.
Yeah. I don't know. If Steve was here, would that even have come out? I think that was stupid.
50-50. Is there any functionality in the touch bar with Final Cut Pro? Do you know?
I think there is. Yeah.
You would think.
I've not used a touch bar, but I think there is. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I can see like something like that, Photoshop, Final Cut Pro, Logic, whatever, you know, something that there is some kind of workflow.
I would still prefer something that wasn't attached, at least that you could, you know what I mean?
No, you don't. What don't you like about it?
I don't know. I think it's just a stupid thing they came up with that didn't last.
Gimmick.
And then it's
gimmicky.
You got this thing and you're not going to have it on your next laptop. And, you know, maybe you've gotten used to it or it's something that's there and you're not going to use. Like, you know what I mean? If you want the choice for it, then you have the choice to get it or not get it. And
well, you do. You can get a MacBook Pro without it.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, if you get it with it, like I say, like maybe the next computer you have, it's not going to have it. And now you're not going to, you know, have that functionality that you might have gotten used to and really like. Or, you know, you might have found that you got it and didn't care for it. Whereas, you know, at least if it was something that wasn't part of the, you know, and another thing to go wrong too.
Yeah, it is another thing to go wrong for sure. As far as desktops go, depending on the video card you have in your laptop, you could also connect a larger screen to your laptop, just like the keyboard thing. You could also connect a larger screen or connect your laptop to a screen. There's a lot of docks out there, depending on what your workflow is. That if you go to the same place with your laptop, you could hook into a dock and maybe connect to a bigger screen. I know as far as desktops go, I've seen guys hook them up to, you know, 32, 50 inch TV screens. And that's, you know, that's what they're looking at for their monitor. And that's also their, you know, their entertainment center as
sure.
well.
But that's something to consider, too. I mean, you know, a laptop, it's much easier to connecting to other devices, like if you're in a living room or some place where you need to hook up to a big screen or, you know, even wirelessly, you know, that portability makes a huge difference in those situations.
Right, exactly.
And the music that we generally play on the show is related to the topic of the show. Sure. And this is no exception. This is 21st Century Digital Boy. A little Bad Religion on your Sunday morning. No pun intended.
I can't believe it. The way you look sometimes.
All right, we're talking about desktop versus laptop. Which one should you get? How much time we got left, Big JD?
We only got a few minutes left in the show today.
Yeah, so we have to. We want to just make a final verdict here on what you should get, and some final words as far as.
Yeah, what do you say, Lippo? What would you suggest that anybody get? I mean,
I think that as far as this generation and the generations to come, I think the desktop idea is not even an option for a lot of these folks, because they're just live on a mobile computing, you know, platform most of the time. A lot of us have our phones on us, so we just expect to be able to access this information. If you got to do something a little more powerful, but you still want the mobility, you wouldn't give up the mobility. I think if you're getting a desktop, it's either because, like I said, you're either a little older and that's what you got used to, and you would never think of getting a laptop, because, you know, if you're going to make that move, then your laptop looks silly on your desk or whatever. I don't know. It's just not an option that you would make. Folks like Big JD and I think that we need some kind of lap or a desktop, because we want a larger screen. I have a 27-inch screen. Obviously, I can't get that in a laptop. I'm able to take advantage of the fact I can also have more power in a desktop machine because, you know, there's more cooling action going on as far as a laptop goes. You don't have as much space to put fans and other cooling devices within it. So I think if you really need to use that functionality, you know, editing a video, or so you're in a science field, or you really need some big computing power, or you just like a big screen, desktop is the way to go.
Yeah, I think if you can afford the best of both worlds, then I think having both is pretty cool, depending again, I guess, on, you know, what you need them for, what you're doing. We definitely, like Lippo says, need desktops, but I don't think we could be without laptops or something mobile.
Something mobile. Yeah, I don't own a laptop, but I do have an iPad Pro, which is 13 inches as well. And it gives me all the power that I need to do the stuff that I need when I'm out of my house. There's tons of stuff. You know, I make sure that I can do what I have to do on my iPad Pro when I'm out and about.
Do you do anything? Have you done any like major work on it, like any major like editing video or audio, or doing some Photoshop stuff or anything like that?
Photoshop and editing audio. Yeah, there's some apps out there that allow you to be pretty. You know, both of those programs require a really fine point. You know, you really want to be able to get into a very specific spot, either on your image or within your waveform if you're editing audio.
Right.
So they use different paradigms. Usually you can just blow up the size of your waveform to a point where you can be a little sloppier with the tip of your finger, or you can on an iPad Pro you can have the pencil as well, and it gives you a little more fine tuning as far as being able to dive right into a very specific spot in whatever you're working on.
And speaking of blowing up, if you actually have a PC desktop, that would be fun to like blow it up. And then you go get yourself an Apple.
Right. Big JD and I are both Apple fanatics. No. Yeah, I suppose we're somewhat fanatic.
Fanatics. Yes.
We used to be really more fanatic. We used to actually do a show based on Macintosh.
Hey, can anybody find those? Like, are they anywhere? Because I know like there's aggregators that just hang on to things for years.
I haven't looked for the Easy Mac podcast myself, but
no,
I wonder if they're like in what is that called, archive.org?
I don't know. Well, we'll have to take a look sometime. Yeah. So yeah, we're pretty much out of time for the show today. I'd especially like to thank Adam Engst for taking part in the morning show and being on You Talking to Me this morning. Next week, we're going to be talking about direct marketing, network marketing, pyramid schemes, and things of that nature. I'll have a guest on there too, another You Talking to Me show with a direct sales person. That's Shelley Sear on the next You Talking to Me. But we're out of time. So once again, we thank you all for listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the morning. Subscribe. subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
Oh, you can share screen inside Skype now? Wow. Take snapshot. What?
What?
What does that do?
Takes a snapshot.